Well, today we continue our journey through Lent, but we enter into Holy Week. And the Lenten question that I've been challenging us with over the season of Lent is, what does it mean to be a faithful disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a faithful disciple of Jesus? And even the few of us who are gathered for the pre-service Lenten study today, we paused and shared a bit of what things were being revealed to us by God during our season of Lent. And so I hope that even today, as you worship and as we have some time at the table for quiet reflection, that you might also see what's that simple lesson or that simple word or that revelation from God that you've been receiving over the past weeks or days of what does it mean to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. Next Sunday's Easter Sunday, and as we prepare our way, let's take some time to try to embrace what I'm calling the palms and passion of this Holy Week. It's an ironic Sunday. I hope this is a weird week that lays ahead for you, and I want to urge you, and I'm taking up this urging as well, to live differently this week. This is the grand finale of the Lenten season, and this is the week where we journey with Jesus through his final days on the cross. And I recognize that our lives are full of commitments and things going on, and many good things. But I urge you, slow down and make space for Holy Week. Here's some ideas that were percolating in my mind this week. Maybe you could give up one more thing for Lent. And you might be saying, Ryan, you're killing me. Come on, stop it. But maybe just for the next 5 or 6 days, you could live without one more thing. You could reflect on what it might be to simplify your life for the next 5 or 6 days and think about not indulging yourself in certain things. Maybe you might participate in a Holy Week activity. And this is a Holy Week activity by making space for church today, don't get me wrong. But maybe there's something even in the next 4 or 5 days that you might take time to intentionally build in your life during Holy Week. I was thinking Stations of the Cross. You could go to Providence Center or you could go to a local Catholic church sanctuary, and you could walk the Stations of the Cross. Or if you can't make it to the Stations of the Cross, this website that I've been encouraging you to consider for the past 6 or 7 months, prayasyougo.org. They have the 10 Stations of the Cross with pictures on their website with an 8 to 10 minute reflection piece on each station. So if you can't make it to a building, maybe you could make it to your computer and reflect on the Stations of the Cross. Maybe you might want to walk the prayer labyrinth. There were a couple of small groups that I was with during the fall where we walked prayer labyrinths. And I phoned around this week. There's one at Anglican, at the Christchurch Anglican. There's a prayer labyrinth there. There's one at McDougall United Church, which is in our area. Maybe walk a prayer labyrinth. And if you're wondering what a prayer labyrinth is, you can talk to me afterwards or some of the other people in the congregation who've walked prayer labyrinths before. Or maybe you'll come to our Maundy Thursday service this Thursday at 8 o'clock for that extra time of reflection. Or there's a host, like I said earlier, a host of Good Friday services. Some of those are included in this morning's bulletin. One of my favorite authors, Marva Dawn, says, we ought to hand out tickets at our Maundy Thursday, our Good Friday services, so that people, when they show up on Sunday, have to hand in these tickets to show that they've actually embraced the suffering part of the Jesus journey before they celebrate his resurrection. Now, she says that in jest, but I think there is something thoughtful about that. That yes, we journey with Jesus, and it's just not about springing ahead to Easter too quickly, but also experiencing the passion and the challenge of those last days of Jesus. So with this in mind, let's reflect on the palms and the passion of Palm Sunday. First, I'll talk about the palms of Palm Sunday. If you're a church-going person, then you've been to many a palm-waving service. And I was thinking, for 4 decades, I've been going to palm-waving services on Palm Sunday. But it's just in the last 8 or 10 years that I really thought about, well, what would it mean to actually be in the story of Palm Sunday? What would it have been like for you and I to be a part of that crowd on that Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem? He comes into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a horse like a pompous royal, but he comes in on a donkey. And can you imagine looking him in the eyes as he walked by? What would you imagine his eyes looked like, or his stare looked like? Do you think it's kind of a gregarious, proud, pleased, you know, like the mayor of a small town parade waving to the crowd? I think not. I think Jesus was probably focused. He wasn't frumpy or frowning or, you know, a grisly manner, but I imagine him to be thoughtful, to be focused, to be engaged with the moment. Now, the crowd is described as much more animated. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And people shouting, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. And can you imagine the frenzy crowd? If you can't think of March Madness, none of you are into March Madness. Okay, think of some event where they've handed out those inflatable batons at the door and everyone's waving them madly. Does that take you somewhere? I think there was a sense of madness as Jesus entered Jerusalem. Pandemonium, celebration, preparing for the kingly takeover, this whiff of freedom from Roman oppression. And so what are you doing with your palm today? What are you doing with your inflatable baton? Are you waving it in a frenzy because you're caught up with the crowd? Or are you just kind of holding your palm reluctantly because it got handed to you, wondering what's going on? What is really up here? And I'd like to say that no matter what you're feeling today, whether you're feeling, you know, amidst that excited crowd or you're kind of indifferent to it, let's reflect on where our hearts are at and whether we believe this crowd's emotion was really authentic or whether it was just kind of a psychological crowd movement contagion. I think we still ought to be a people who are willing to cry out, Hosanna. Because from Psalm 18 we read, Hosanna simply means God save us. And that's what we can all cry out today. God, save us. Aren't we in a position of constantly needing a God to save us? A couple of weeks ago, Greg and Darb shared a sermon with us. And they talked about this salvation story and this idea that we're being saved from something. We're being called from darkness to light, but we're also being saved for something. We're being saved so that we might be ambassadors of a salvation story. And this is not just conjured up from us with our own enthusiasm. This is, as Ephesians 2 says, a gift from God. And so today, on Palm Sunday, we can join with the crowd. And with authentic and grateful hearts, we can shout, God, save us. Yahweh, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So this is the palms feel of Palm Sunday. But I'd also like us to hold this tension together of the passion feel of Palm Sunday. Now, about a month ago at our council meeting, Jeremy challenged us with this tension idea. And he again talked about Marva Dawn, and he got us to put our hands together like this to feel tension. Can we do that? Humor me, please. Humor me. And just pull and feel that tension. Because we want to talk about the tension of Palm Sunday. That there's this tension between the palms of Palm Sunday, but there's a tension towards the passion of Palm Sunday. In Mark 11, verse 11, we read, then he entered Jerusalem, Jesus, and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And this is the verse where I got stuck this week. And I don't know if you ever get stuck in your Bible reading, but I want to challenge you to get stuck. When you're reading through the Bible, get stuck somewhere where you kind of hit something that's like, what? What's that all about? Because it's in those sticky places where we further get to pray through things and ask God to reveal or talk to other believers and just say, what's up with this certain section? And so this is where I got stuck. And what hung me up was this image of Jesus going to the temple, looking around, and then leaving. Why did he leave? Perhaps he knew that this was the last time he'd have this calm look at the temple. The calm before the storm, so to speak. And isn't it interesting that there's no fanfare here at the temple that we see recorded by Mark? There's no royal robes for him to put on. And it's also interesting to note that then he leaves Jerusalem and goes to this small town 2 miles east called Bethany. And Bethany, and if you know the Gospels, then you know that Bethany is a place where Jesus spent time with Mary and Martha and had some pretty significant stories emerge. Bethany is a place where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And Bethany seems to be a place where Jesus spent time with friends. Bethany, in this era, the name Bethany is also known as the house of the poor or the house of suffering. So Jesus leaves the temple, and in Mark's gospel, Mark notes that Jesus' place is not the temple, but it is amongst the suffering and the poor. And I think this is the passion that we ought to remember today, that we believe in a God who through Jesus meets us in our poor and lowly estate. Jesus is close to the brokenhearted and the humble. And as the people of God, this is the message of passion that we ought to proclaim and live out this week. Paul the Apostle echoes this in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." And then he goes on to say, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." This is the passion of Palm Sunday. And we live in this tension of the palms and the passion. So as we move towards our time at the table this morning, let's be intentional to remember the passion of the Lord and his unswerving focus to lay down his life for us so that we might know deep companionship with God. So as we close with a couple of minutes of quiet prayer, I want you to, if you're in a place of celebration, then come to the table with a grateful heart, thankful for God's generosity and kindness in your life. Or if you're in a place of sorrow, then come knowing that Christ, through the presence of his Spirit and the power of his resurrection, meets us, even in places of brokenness. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. And our hope is that intimacy with God is even born out of places of joy and sorrow. And like I was saying to the kids, places of gladness and sadness. I read this great quote from Eugene Peterson this week, talking about intimacy, and we'll close with this as we prepare for quiet prayer. He writes, "Intimacy is no easy achievement. There's pain, longing, disappointment, and hurt. But if the costs are considerable, the rewards are magnificent. For in relationship with another and with the God who loves us, we complete the humanity for which we were created. We stutter and stumble, wander and digress, delay and procrastinate. But we do learn to love, even as we are loved, steadily and eternally in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, whether we fall on the palm-waving side of this day or the more sorrowful passion part of this day, we pray that we would encounter your presence. Teach us to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and to not heed the wounds, to labor and not to seek for any reward except to know that we are doing your holy will. Amen.